Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today, broadcasting from my basement out here in the Michigan Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack.
Hey, Kevin.
Back with us.
Hey.
Hey, you're back.
Yeah, well, actually, I think what happened is for the past couple of months, I when I was trying to get out of your house, I walked into a closet and got locked in. And that's why you haven't seen me. I've been in the closet. No.
You have a pretty good tan for being in a closet. You've been outside.
I've been on the road.
Yeah.
I've been on the road with my team for Worldview Academy. Went southeast. We have three teams, and we rotate teams every year. And so I went southeast, and it was a very good summer. We had a great time.
Good. Well, it's good to have you back in studio, my friend.
It's good to be here.
Well, let's talk about what's going on in America. America's burning down.
It is.
California's burning down.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, I see it with Worldview Academy. I see that the culture is burning down.
Yeah.
And even with students who are coming to camp and they understand it's a leadership camp, I see that there's a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
And so it's a joy to see the lights come on when our faculty are unpacking issues from a biblical worldview. But our culture is burning up, and our country, as you said, California is ablaze.
You think the churches are not teaching the Word of God and discipling these young people as they should?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do, and we had a couple of youth guys come visit from a very large church
in Texas. Yeah,
even though we're on the Southeast team, they came to see what we offered and what we had. And, I mean, they do their own camp of like 2,200 students.
Wow,
their own camp.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
right.
And in talking with them, they did not get it. Now, this is an experienced, accomplished, skilled youth worker, not a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in business for quite some time, so he knows. He can read students. He can read staff. I mean, I admired him for his deliberateness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to education, he was wanting to be a friend with the public school.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that's the problem. Until the church gets serious about education, we've lost it.
Well, I think it's because they want to teach a little bit about Jesus, but they don't want a biblical view of reality. They don't want a biblical view of ethics. They don't want a biblical view
of
truth and science and origins and ontology. All those things that make for a foundation. They don't want the foundation, but they still seem to want something of a superstructure. They want some studs and drywall and a few windows, but they don't want the concrete in the foundation anymore.
They don't even want the studs. They just want the drywall. They want the paint on the drywall.
Yeah.
They don't see it. I'm serious. They don't understand that. What's James 4:4? Oh, you adulteresses, speaking of spiritual adultery, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God?
Mm-hmm.
And they think we can all still link arms on behalf of the children, on behalf of students. We're all doing good. We're all on the same page. And the answer is, no, we're not. And until we realize that the schools are your greatest enemy, maybe the most foreign mission field that most American Christians will see, then we have lost this until the church gets serious about education from a biblical worldview.
Yeah. Well, that's what we've been espousing for 15 years in this radio program, and calling out for the remnant to come out from among them, be separate, for saith the Lord, especially when it comes to the battle of ideas. Ideologies are important. Ideas are important. And when a false set of ideas are being taught in the public schools, the inevitable result, of course, is the consequences will be devastating to any kind of sustenance of faith from one generation to the next. And that's why salvaging the area of Christian education will be the salvaging of the faith from one generation to the next. Unless God brings a significant revival, I think at this point, Bill, we're just looking at trying to maintain something of a family discipleship and a consistent biblical worldview taught through a Christian education through tens of thousands of families that still remain as sort of the remnant in America. We're going to be back with more in just a moment to talk about what's going on in California. Again, God's judgment upon the nation, my friends. And has this nation repented? Is California's Governor Jerry Brown repenting? Or is he continuing to maintain the stance he has set in the past? And is Donald Trump repenting? Is our nation repenting right now? Or are we just subjecting ourselves to more of the judgment of God? We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Dads, are you intent on raising your sons to be courageous men of God, but struggling to find the time for some serious relationship building? Then we invite you to the Father-Son Retreat, this August 16th through the 19th. You'll experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at the breathtakingly beautiful Crooked Creek Ranch nestled in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. Adventures galore await you in the mountains, along with rock-solid biblical teaching and some of the richest Christian fellowship you've ever enjoyed with men from around the country. Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Bill Jack also in studio with us today as we come back to the news. And 300,000 acres of blazing desert now. Something of a judgment of God, of course, any kind of a destructive force that comes, we can acknowledge the sovereign hand of God over all things. It's, of course, risky to assign a cause and effect relationship between something, some particular sin of a state or a nation to a particular judgment that God brings upon a nation. However, every time we see a cataclysm, Jesus says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So that's the takeaway message that Jesus sends to those who were concerned about the fall of the Tower of Siloam. Anytime there's a natural disaster of some sort, Jesus gives us the major takeaway. In the book of Luke, he tells us, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So that's the big takeaway for the nation. Anytime you see some record of a natural disaster that's afflicting a nation or a state, friends, every church needs to pray for repentance. Every pastor needs to stand up and say to his congregation and to the communities that he serves, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He needs to say that, as Jesus said it to the crowds that were concerned about a natural disaster that occurred during the time of Christ. And the Car Fire out in Northern California has now taken down 120,000 acres thus far. It's 1,000 acres. The Car Fire now one of the most destructive fires in the history of the state of California, about as destructive as the Thomas Fire just last year. You remember the Thomas Fire took down some 200,000 acres and some 1,000 structures. That's about where we are with the Car Fire now. Two out of the four worst fires in California history, I've heard, have happened just in the last year or two. And Governor Jerry Brown is blaming the fire now in greenhouse gases. No surprise, he's a big environmentalist. As you know, here's an LA Times article in front of me where Jerry Brown says the more serious predictions of warming, that is global warming, and fires are to occur later in the century, in 2040 or 2050. They're now occurring in real time. So Jerry Brown assigns the cause of fires to global warming, and the cause of fire, of course, is the lack of water. So that would be the cause of fire.
Yeah.
When it doesn't rain, then forest fires are likely to happen. And the things that limits the damage of forest fires is wind shifting and rain. And ultimately, who's in control of wind shifts and rain?
Well, according to Governor Brown, it's the we need to reduce carbon pollution because,
yes,
quote, that is in many respects driving all of this, he said.
Well, that's because Jerry Brown believes that man is in control of the weather.
Yep. He said, this is the new normal. California is burning.
Yeah.
And you know what I say? Well, why is it burning? Is it burning because of man's intervention or because God is in control?
And more fundamentally, why would he conclude that man is in control of the weather? Why would he assume that man is in control of the weather, but that he has been subject to the overweening arrogance of too many scientists over the last 50 to 60 to 70 to 80 years.
And it's not just scientists. I mean, the science doesn't support this, Kevin.
It doesn't, but scientists like to believe that man is ultimately in control of these things, and so do politicians. And so that's why you have this unholy mixture of scientists and politicians that want to believe that they have some kind of control over the weather patterns. And so they sell it to the population as a bill of goods, and the population often elects leaders that will be likely to ban the use of incandescent light bulbs and the rest.
And I suggest that the scientists sell it to the politicians, who then use it to try to scare the populace into voting for policies that are banned.
So let's get back to, what are we fearing? Are we fearing man? Are we fearing the works of man? Are we fearing God? What is the fundamental fear here? Are we fear scientists? Do we fear the destructive capabilities of man? Or do we fear God first and foremost? I guess that's the fundamental question we return to again and again. And as long as education for American public schools and American evangelicals that send their kids to public schools does not believe that the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God, then you can expect this level of destruction to come upon a nation, and that governors will assume that it is within the control of science to reduce the possibility of forest fires and to increase the possibility of rain. So, my friends, witch doctors have believed that they were in control of the weather patterns and rain, et cetera, et cetera, for centuries upon centuries. And now it's the scientists that believe that they're in control of these things.
It's a return to mysticism.
I guess it is, yes, because there is no proof that man is ultimately in control of the weather patterns, but man wants to believe that he is in control of these things. The fact of the matter is, God is burning down California. There's no question about this. The last year or two, we've seen the worst fires in terms of damage to property in California history. Is it time to leave the state of California? That's a question we want to deal with in just a moment. But do understand that there are reasons for God bringing his judgment to a state or to a nation. And so the first question that needs to be asked is, how might California repent of some particular sins? California evidently is particularly proud of one sin, and that is the sin of homosexuality. Earlier this month, California Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill into law that permanently established the month of June as LGBT Pride Month, that is, pride in the sin of homosexuality. And the author of the bill, Assembly Member Evan Lowe, said, California has the largest LGBT population of any state in the union, and the state is home to over 40 LGBT pride celebrations each year. Now, assuming that God is in the heavens, assuming that he is still in control, and he is concerned with the sexual habits of those who happen to live in the state of California or anywhere else, And now America has so much more culpability on this bill, seeing as America was the recipient of such a significant outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of evangelical gospel, of the Church of Jesus Christ, seems to have had tremendous influence in this nation, more so than any other nation on earth. You might correct me on that, but I don't know as if any other nation has been as well-churched or has had such access to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as the United States of America, and yet we have a nation to whom much is given, much is required. This nation is turning away from God, and that is a significant difference between Sodom and Gomorrah and the United States.
You know, the interesting thing is that, because I travel a lot, 3 years ago our team was in Keene, New Hampshire. It's a very picturesque New England town. And at the center of the town are several churches, and I went to every church I could find. Okay, it's a small town, so I walked every church I could find. I couldn't find a single church that was not displaying proudly the gay pride flag.
No way.
Yes way.
This was where?
Keene, New Hampshire.
Keene, New Hampshire.
And then this summer,
visited
every church I could find. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that it was every church, but every church I could find, not a single church that I visited and I surveyed was not displaying the gay pride flag. It used to be it was a day, then it was a weekend, then it was a week, and now, as you point out, it's an entire month that is set aside to celebrate a perversion that brought down Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this summer we ended our last camp near Philadelphia at Karen University, which used to be Philadelphia Bible Institute or Philadelphia University of the Bible, PBU, Bible University. And so we took our students down to Liberty Square, right near Independence Hall, uh-huh, and where the Liberty Bell is displayed. And I went through the Liberty Bell display, and the last exhibit before you get into the Liberty Bell, because they have exhibits saying that the Liberty Bell was a symbol for the abolitionist movement, which it was, and that's where it gained its name, Liberty Bell, based on what's on the bell, Leviticus 25:10, 25:15, and proclaim liberty throughout the land. And the last exhibit was an exhibit linking the Liberty Bell with the LGBT. Q movement. It was an entire alcove of display saying this is what liberty is.
Sponsored by Donald Trump's administration.
By the National Park Service.
Right, which is Donald Trump's administration. Right. Sad to see that Donald Trump's administration and the National Park Service is so head over heels in love with homosexuality that they would celebrate it in the booth right next to the Liberty Bell. Well, that is the definition of liberty these days, is the liberty to have any form of sexual perversion with anything that exists. And that, my friends, is the direction taken by the modern ethicists and those that want to oppose God's law.
So we should expect judgment, Ken.
I think so. I think so. If you look at the history of California, they've been at the forefront of this. Back in 1850, you know, a common law statute was installed in the territory of California, providing for the legalization of sodomy and setting the penalty at 5 years to life in prison. But the first gay pride march occurred in San Francisco in 1970, and then San Francisco legitimized homosexuality in 1972. In 1982, Laguna Beach, California, elected the first openly homosexual mayor in United States history. In 1999, California adopted a domestic partnership law. I believe it was one of the first in the nation to do that. In 2005, California state legislators became the first in the nation to pass the same-sex marriage law. It was vetoed by Governor Schwarzenegger at the time. In 2008, the California Supreme Court then struck down Prop 22 in regard to marriage cases, and Prop 8 also was struck down later on that year, I believe. In 2011, California became the first state to mandate homosexual indoctrination classes for K-8 students. And then in 2012, California became the first state to sign a ban on therapy that was attempting to convert homosexuals into non-homosexuals. And then in 2017, the California state schools implemented the homosexual indoctrination program that was advised by the California Assembly in 2011. So that occurred just last year, you remember.
Yeah.
And that was the kickoff for the biggest fires California has ever seen in its history last year. And those fires continue in 2018. So God is burning down California in 2017 and 2018 after about 25 years of leading the pack to legitimize the sin of homosexuality in that state. The book of Jude, you know, brings out an important warning. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So effectively, Sodom and Gomorrah is an example for the eternal fire that will one day burn down the ungodly. And according to the book of Jude and 2 Peter, by the way. And so as we see these fires coming to the state of California, I think these, again, can be examples of that punishment of eternal fire that God will bring against the ungodly who refuse to repent. As Jesus said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish.
And the thing is that judgments, that sin never is contained. It continues to spread unless the church proclaims truth and grace, unless legislators hold out a hand of restraint legislatively. And so one of the effects of these fires in California and the policies in California is that people are fleeing the state. And when they flee the state, it's not because they recognize that the worldview that brought about these policies needs to be changed. It's just they're fleeing policies. And so they come to other states, such as Colorado, and they begin to implement the same policies. So sin spreads until the church stands up and proclaims righteousness and truth and grace, until legislators stand up and say this is wrong, not because I say it's wrong, but because God's word says it's wrong. Then we're going to continue to see the spread from the left coast and from the east coast into the heartland of the United States. And the heartland is going to experience the judgment of God as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, California is economically bankrupt. It can't even pay its own pensions, and it's morally bankrupt as well. I think that's obvious at this point. And California itself has lost any sense of its boundaries. Of course, it's opened itself up towards all forms of immigration as well. So I think it's on a suicidal trajectory at this point. And at some point, I think we're going to see the opportunity for decentralization of powers. The state of Texas perhaps may not wish to be aligned with a state like California that has become so bankrupt. So again, it depends. We'll have to see something of a reformation of faith in this country if we're going to see anything of a turn back on these issues. Well, anyway, my friends, that's where the state of California is. I wonder sometimes also, as we consider the rash of wildfires that is burning up so much of the western states, if perhaps private property ownership could mitigate fires, especially if ranchers were willing to cut down trees and create fire breaks on their properties. You know, the Cato Institute has interacted with this issue before, and the federal government has shown itself to be a poor steward of its massive land holdings, according to Chris Edwards, director of tax policy studies at public policy think tank the Cato Institute. The issues with western lands are far too complex and sensitive for faraway politicians and bureaucrats in Washington to be able to solve. Private owners cannot afford to let their forests die of disease, insect infestations, or wildfire. They are on the job 24 hours a day, unlike 9-to-5 government bureaucrats. If private owners fail, they go bankrupt. If Forest Service managers fail, at worst, they are transferred to another forest. No, at worst, they allow for forest fires that burn down 1,000 structures that are contiguous to these national forests. Okay, my friends, that's the way it goes when governments own the property. And when we begin to centralize control of this property under socialist governments, as Theodore Roosevelt and other presidents have enforced over the years. Also, private farmers and ranchers be more careful not to toss their cigarettes out onto their own properties. People are less careful when they throw their cigarettes out on public lands. After all, nobody really owns the land. So.
Yeah, is there a graffiti in your bathroom here at your house? Of course not.
No.
Your wife would kill you, right?
Oh, yeah.
But
I,
is there graffiti in public bathrooms?
All the time.
Now, why is
all
that?
All the time.
Because nobody really owns it.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly. Okay. Well, my friends, that's the way it goes when socialist governments take over and demoralize the people and undermine the morality of the people through public programs, through the National Park Service and what they're doing with the Liberty Bell institution and through the National Park Service and others.
I like what Roger, I think his last name is Pilkey, who's a University of Colorado climate change specialist, said in this LA Times article. He said that Governor Brown is engaging in, quote, noble cause corruption, end quote.
Yeah.
We all recognize that, yeah, this is bad, but it's the corruption of the cause to make it into a political statement. So noble cause corruption, that is a good phrase to start using.
Well, these nations are increasingly destroying themselves by their policies, my friends. All those who hate God love death. What we're seeing is these nations are in a self-destructive pattern. They destroy their morality, they increase the power of government, and then they enable natural disasters to burn down their forests and their towns, their cities. And that's where we are today. Of course, all of this could be solved if we would repent as a nation, if we'd fall on our faces before God, cry out for mercy, if the U.S. Senate would declare a day of repentance, prayer, and fasting. The last time that happened was 3 months before Gettysburg. In 1863, the U.S. Senate identified a day for a day of prayer and repentance and fasting because we have sinned against God. Those words have not been spoken by the U.S. Senate or by a president of the United States for nigh unto 150 years because this nation has turned itself into a proud nation that refuses to bow its knee to God and recognize the fearful judgments of Almighty God and cry out for His mercy. And until that happens, I think we're just going to subject ourselves to higher levels of judgment at the hand of a sovereign and almighty God. So let me encourage you to our book, Freedom, a book that basically outlines what it is to identify and to build a free republic, a free nation, much like the United States of America was some 200 years ago. If you would like something of a vision of a nation that submitted itself to God and called for days of repentance, prayer, and fasting, and acknowledged public sins, and looked to God for his salvation and his providential interventions. If you're kind of interested in a nation that started with that kind of a vision, and a nation that was free from massive controls on the part of tyrannical governments, I would encourage you to get a copy of the book Freedom. It also has a study guide that goes with it. And friends, we're in the midst of a sale right now, so I encourage you to check out our sale online, especially when it refers to our history curriculum. I think all of our history curriculum is on sale right now, so I would encourage you to avail yourself to that amazing sale online, even as we speak. So these things available at our website, generations.org. Again, would encourage you to the history of Western liberties, the book Freedom that I wrote, and the study guide that goes with it, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.